We invite you now to open your Bibles with us to Haggai. Haggai, the first chapter, we'd like to read for your hearing the 15 verses of this chapter. Haggai 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of the host, their God. In the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. May the Lord bless this word into our hearts. Our question this morning is, are we willing temples of God? And from 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter, if you have your Bibles, we'd like to have you turn with us. 2 Corinthians 6, a verse that we have probably read several times, but we'd like to look at it in a new light this morning. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. And we read, And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The awareness that we are the temple of God. This is a challenging and a continuous challenging thought that we must experience the indwelling of God, that we are the place of God's dwelling, that our minds, our thoughts, the exercise of our body is all in the process of conditioning us that God may dwell in us. Now we need constant encouragement and strength to let God dwell in us, to make room for God. We need to be enthused with this truth. I think I've told you about several years ago when we accepted the pastorate at Font Hill, Ontario, and after we were slightly settled, not quite, I took a walk around the town just to look around the village and see what the lay of the land was. And walking down the hill from the parsonage, and Font Hill is built on a hill, I came around the corner to the fire station. But in Font Hill, they don't call them station or houses. They call them halls. And so the first sign I saw in Font Hill was Font Hill Fire Hall. Well, it jarred me a moment until I realized that it was the place of the station engines and so forth, the fire engines. But it got me to thinking, too. And I did preach a sermon in Font Hill. It was entitled Font Hill Fire Hall. With this idea, we need to be enthused and inspired that we are the temple of God. We need to inject this thought into one another, to remind one another of who we are and what we are in our relationship with God. So it's not just Pennellwood Fire Hall, but it's Pennellwood Fire, every one of us, with enthusiasm, with the gender of the Spirit, of the love and relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the enthusiasm, the consciousness that God is dwelling within us. It's frightening when we think of it realistically. God dwelling in me. To realize that we must live that life of dedication and consecration. Back to Haggai, the first chapter. People have not changed, and we're in the same rut as were the children of Israel in the days of Haggai. For the word of the Lord came to Haggai, saying, "This people say," this is the second verse of the first chapter, "the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And we say today, the time is not come for me to prepare myself for God's indwelling, to make myself a house of God. I'm too busy. I can't take such time to prepare my heart for God to dwell therein. I've got other things I want to do, other things that take my time and energy. And just as surely as the people of those days, as recorded in the fourth verse, turned away, so we turn today. For in the fourth verse we read, God said, "Is it for you? Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" In other words, how often our time and effort and energy is to our own interests, looking, as it were, to our own house. How often we will use our energy and our time and our bodies for our own welfare, for our own enjoyment and pleasure, instead of preparing God's house and making it a house of God. We turn, everyone, to our own thoughts. Turning back a moment to Romans, the 8th chapter, and you recall the 13th verse, "For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now, a big if in what we do, how we act, how we think, what we say. This is our everyday challenge. For we must be conscious that we are the temple of God, and God is dwelling within us. We recall in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, that Jesus is speaking concerning a latter-day prophecy of the attitudes of people. And if you have your Bibles, we'd like to have you turn to this. Matthew 22. We're concerned about our own position, our attitude. The attitude of people of Haggai's day, well, the time has not come for us to really prepare ourselves for God. But the more we can be aware that today is the day of salvation, today is the time of preparing, today is the time of prayer and consecration. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, may we read the first 5 verses. "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they could not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the wedding. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and so forth. And how many of us make comparable excuses? We're pretty busy when it comes to just doing the will of God, when it comes to preparing ourselves for God to dwell within us. Someday we're going to have to give an account of the things that take our time and energy, that took us from preparing our hearts for God, from serving God, from doing those things today that we know we should be doing. They made light of it. We wouldn't make light of it verbally. We wouldn't laugh in the face of God. But we do this by the things we do, by the attitude we have toward the Bible, toward Sunday evening service or the midweek service. Well, we don't need it. And we laugh it. We make light of it. The challenge we have is to constantly be preparing our hearts for God to dwell within us. When we refuse to obey, back again to Haggai, when we refuse to obey, when we refuse to let God dwell in us, we refuse to fear Him, then what happens to our own effort? What happens to our feeble effort, though it may be, to serve the Lord? And we note in verses 6 down through 9, notice with me, Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And they that earn wages to put them in bagged with holes. You know how often we wonder, why isn't the church growing? Why don't we have baptisms every Sunday? Why is it that we're not getting more people? You know, we stop to think about it. What are we doing to get more people, to reach the lost? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Notice again in the 9th verse, Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Now, isn't this descriptive? There may be a great anticipation. I'd like to tell you something. I never come before this pulpit without having prayed. And often, early Sunday morning in my prayer, I will pray, O God, touch the hearts of many that they will desire this fellowship today. And then the thought often crosses my mind, now I wonder, the Lord will answer my prayer, the house will be full. There'll be people that we have pleaded with, that we've called on, and have said, oh yes, we're coming, never come. I wonder if they will come this Sunday. We look for much, and lo, it came to little. This is a good verse to use also with the idea of the tithe. We bring home what we have, and it just seems to, it's gone. The Lord seems to blow on it because we do not honor Him. But why? God's telling us, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. We're pretty busy. We've got our own interests. We've got our own ideas. We've got our own principles and programs that we're following. The Lord can wait until we get caught up, and then we'll see about building the Lord's house. We'll see about doing something for God. How little actually do we do that God will dwell in us? When we stop to ponder it, what do? To make a place for the indwelling of God. Twice in this chapter, God said, consider your ways. Paul's admonition was, examine yourselves to see whether you are holding to your faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you have failed to meet the test? And how descriptive this is of every one of us. Paul wrote to Timothy, take heed unto thyself. Oh, how much we must take heed to ourselves today, to consider who we are and what we are and where we stand in the eyes of God and what position we hold. But then in Haggai, we note in the 12th verse, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. They obeyed. You know, this is speaking of a great deal. They obeyed. God opened their eyes to realize that they had been faulty and in error and neglectful. And they obeyed when God opened their eyes. You know, we have our eyes open today. We can't say, well, I don't know what to do. We all have neighbors and friends, relatives, who have not yielded their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we haven't cared. We haven't reached them. We haven't even tried. And so these obeyed. They obeyed the Lord. And then what does it say in the 13th verse? Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you. Now the first part of the chapter seems as if God was just against them and drawing away and rejecting them, condemning them for their weakness, because they said, now is not the time for us to build the Lord's house. But they repented and they obeyed, and immediately, through the voice of the prophet, God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. If you will just turn and start, I'm with you. Just as much as God was with the feet of the priest as their feet touched the water separated, but they had to start. And then God says, I'm with you. The water spread open. Just as surely as Zerubbabel and Joshua started, God says, I'm with you. And we too must make this devoted, consecrated start, and God will be with us. I believe that it's impossible. It's impossible for any one of us to go to a house having prayed, Lord, guide me by thy Spirit, use me for thy glory, knock on the door, and have God leave you. It's impossible. For God will be with you. And he will give you the thoughts and the words and the ideas. We may leave the house thinking we're an utter failure, but that person may be in church next Sunday. We cannot reach to the lives of others with the love of Christ and fail when we sincerely are trying. And so the Lord said, I'm with you, when they obeyed. And then notice what the Lord did. In the 14th verse, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. He stirred them. He moved them. He affected them. And they did work in the Lord's house. They did work on the Lord's house. They did what God intended them to do and what God asked them to do, wherein God had condemned them. But first, they obeyed. The Lord was with them, and he stirred them, and he moved them, and he motivated them, and empowered them, that they might work. Well, we have a stirring right here to do. Of stirring one another, of encouraging one another, of strengthening one another into the work of the Lord. We announced at the beginning of this service that we had a little paper on the bulletin board out in front. Maybe I'm pessimist. And yet if we all wrote a reasonable size, we could all get our names on that prayer list. We could all get our names on there. But I wonder how many of us will feel, that's not necessary. I mean, I'll pray, but why do I put my name on a slip of paper? Because of what it'll do for me. and for everyone here when they know that you are praying and that you have pledged prayer time to pray that the Lord will bless us in this future service. Here is just one time, one way, a little practical thing, just writing our name down, keeping a promise to God, I'll pray once a day, either morning, noon, or night, or twice, or three times, whatever you care. But how we can inspire one another in the Lord Jesus Christ, in working, building the Lord's house. We must be the temple of God. And we need the encouragement and strength of one another, and then the stirring of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, and we're reading from 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the sixth verse, but we'd like to read this verse from the Amplified Translation. And it reads like this, and I like to read it several times. I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. Now we talk about God dwelling within us. We'd like to feel that He's in us in some way, in some degree today, this moment, that we each are consecrated to God in some measure, some degree. None of us want to admit that we're hypocrites and that we're without the love of God and that we have no hope of salvation whatsoever. Then with what avenue we feel a relationship with God this moment, let's consider what we've done with it, what we're accomplishing with it, how it is evident in our daily living, and we'll all have to admit we've got to do some rekindling. We've got to have a hotter fire burning in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to have a ready testimony and a witness that we haven't had hitherto. We've got to do some more reading in our Bibles. We've got to be on our knees some more and pray and trust in the Lord and grow in faith. We've got to do some growing. Yes, the Lord will work. And when we get on our knees and when we open the Bible, we're obeying God, for He's asked us to do this. And He will be with us. And He will stir us within, that we might be His people. May we pray. Our loving Father in heaven, oh, how much we need the touch of Thy hand, the stir of Thy strength and Thy Holy Spirit within us. Grant us this stirring. Grant us, Father, that we may be fully affected and yielded unto Thy word and will, that the way of Jesus Christ may be evident in us, that we may have the thoughts to think and the words to speak wherein we may be glorious for Thee in our relationships and fellowships. Bless us for Thy service. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.